Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul, in this passage, he's concerned about the growth of the church in Corinth. He was there 4 or 5 years earlier, and now he's gotten a report that things are not going so well. Their focus is off. It's on men and preachers and not on the gospel and the cross of Christ. He calls them babes in Christ in chapter 3, verse 1. And then he speaks of planting and he speaks of watering. All of these terms pointing to the fact that he is concerned about their growth or lack thereof. The key that he brought to our attention is that God is the one that gives the increase. So all this talk about growth in the church is null and void if we lose that key point. It is God that gives the increase. And I trust that that is a truth that you hold to dearly as I. We talk about growth in the church and all of that, and we need to realize that God wants us to be faithful, and as a preacher, I need to be faithful to the ministry of the Word, planting, watering. But ultimately, God is the one that does the increase. God is the one that brings about the growth. God is the one that changes your heart and my heart. God is the one that will convict us of sin and restore relationships. And God does that kind of work. But he uses us as a church. He uses his precious word. Paul is zeroing in here on the present church leaders, those that have been involved in ministry since he and Apollos had left the church in Corinth. It is very clear that the present church leaders have brought about the present carnality of the church. Somewhere along the line, they lost their focus. And he is speaking directly to them, for they have the responsibility to continue the building of the church. Paul, he established, laid the foundation. We'll talk about that today. But others are building upon it, and it seems that they had lost their way. It's interesting, he doesn't name them specifically, but he speaks clearly of the fruit of their teaching. And he gives them a clear warning, and we're going to see that today. Let's look at this text. We're going to pick up our text in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, or God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereupon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The first thing I believe God wants us to notice from this text is, church, you need to understand, we need to understand and know the role of God's grace. Notice in our text here, in verse 10, as Paul begins this building analogy, that he uses this phrase, according to the grace of God. We see here that what Paul is talking about, he readily admits that he was directly involved in a lot of the processes of beginning this church, but he prefaces it with this important phrase, according to the grace of God. Paul here is giving all credit to God's grace. He calls attention to it as something that he had seen as being given to the Corinthian church back in chapter 1 and verse 4. Just flip over there. You see that, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." And the Apostle Paul is recognizing and pointing out to this church that the grace of God is involved in their midst. He also uses that phrase at the end of this letter in chapter 15, verse 10, where he says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was within me." Church, how often do you give credit to the grace of God? There is something profound here to be grasped. Who we are and what we have done must always be credited to the grace of God. I have found in my own life that including this in my vocabulary has helped me with this perspective. If you've been around me for any length of time, you notice that I speak about vocabulary. I speak about how important it is how you choose your words and how you speak. We talk about this being the Lord's church, and I try my best to realize that and recognize that. It's not my church, it's God's church. And another aspect of vocabulary that we need to put into practice is including the grace of God. I am who I am by God's abundant grace. What that does, it reminds me, and it will remind you, that it is not about me, but it's about God. It's not about my abilities or my strength, but it's about God's abilities and God's strength in and through me at work. It helps others to not give me credit, but to give God the credit. To speak of the grace of God is to draw the attention away from us and to place it upon God. To speak of the grace of God highlights our own inadequacies, and it exalts the greatness of God. You understand, don't you, that when you admit that it was by God's grace, you are admitting that you can't do it all. But you are admitting also that God is so great, he can. In what areas of my life, in what areas of your life, do you need to start speaking of the grace of God? Are you making sure to give credit where credit is due? Do you realize what you truly deserve? And who you would be apart from the grace of God? Do you realize that, church? Do you understand that? And this is just a simple, profound phrase here in this passage, but I believe it is there on purpose because the Apostle Paul, he's going to be speaking about things that he has been involved in, but he wants the church to realize it's not about him. It's about the grace of God that is at work and how God is using him to accomplish his purposes. And church, God is using you and he's using me. God is doing things in your life and in my life, but it's all because of his grace. What is grace? What is it? The grace of God is the favor that he has shown you despite of who you truly are and what you truly deserve. And we need to make sure we realize how profound of a statement that is. What is it you truly deserve? What is it? We truly deserve separation from God forever and forever, forever and ever, eternity. But by God's grace, he has saved us and given us abundant life in him. I encourage and I implore you as the church that make this phrase a part of your vocabulary. And I'm not talking about just using it flippantly. I'm talking about understanding what you're saying and realizing that you are who you are because of God's grace. You do what you do because of the grace of God in your life. Church, know the role of God's grace. The second thing I believe that God wants us to understand here in this text is that we need to understand and know God's building codes. Know God's building codes. If you've been around building and construction for any length of time, you understand that there are certain parameters and certain standards that have to be in place in order to build a building. There are code enforcement officers. Sometimes they're your best friend, and sometimes, a lot of times, maybe they're not. And they enforce different codes that your county or town have set up. In this text, the Apostle Paul is reminding the church, or maybe he's teaching them for the first time, but we need to understand what God's parameters and God's standards and God's building codes really are. We're right in the middle of an analogy about building. And so in verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, so we have that as the preface, that umbrella carries what Paul's going to say, covers what Paul's going to say here. He says, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. Paul describes here his role. He is the Apostle Paul. He's been called upon by God to minister the truth to the Gentiles all over the known world, the Roman Empire of that day. And here, what he says is he calls himself a wise master builder. 4 or 5 years previous, he had come to Corinth. He had visited with these people. He had planted a church. He had preached the gospel. And a foundation was laid for the church. Now, this foundation happened because people trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They believed in him, and a foundation was built upon Jesus Christ. In fact, later in the text, in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And so understanding the foundation of the church was a key component to their understanding of getting this thing right. Is they have to understand that Jesus is the foundation of the church. And the Apostle Paul, when he speaks of, I was the wise master builder, and I laid this foundation, all in the context of God's grace. And see how important it is for God's grace to be there? Because, boy, if somebody were to walk in and say, I'm a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, your immediate focus is on that person. But the grace of God tempers it here to the point that God's using Paul. And the gospel was laid as a foundation. And upon that foundation, is the church is built. And why? And the Apostle Paul calls himself a skilled architect. One who is putting this together. God's using him to put it together. Now, Paul is not there at this time when he's writing it. And notice what he says in the middle of verse 10. He says, I have laid the foundation. In other words, I had done that in the past. There's continuing results. It's a perfect tense. And so there's continuing results. I laid that foundation. But notice what it says next. And another builds thereupon. Another is building, a present tense. Others are building on it now. And I really believe that that is the focus of his attention here, those that are building on it now. God's building codes include, first of all, a foundation must be laid, Jesus Christ in the gospel. With my boys, they like to build blocks, and something that I have been known to say is that before you build your tower, you need to have a firm what? A firm foundation. And we have certain blocks that are larger and flatter. And I've encouraged them to use that if they really want to build a strong and tall tower. And so a part of these building codes that God is establishing is there has to be a foundation. And I think we all understand that principle of building. Your building is only as strong and as sturdy and successful as the foundation upon which it is laid. And so God's building codes demands that there is a foundation that is laid, and that that foundation is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ, the gospel, who Jesus is, how he is the Savior of the world, and all people, if they're going to be a part of the church, their life must stand upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have a quote-unquote church and they're not holding to the gospel of Jesus Christ, they have no foundation. It will fall and it will crumble. The church stands upon one foundation, and that's Jesus Christ. So first of all, a foundation must be laid, and it must be Jesus Christ in the gospel. Secondly, all builders must build upon that one foundation. There's only one foundation mentioned here in this text, and scholars have interpreted it in this text that Paul could have been referring to the possibility of some builders building on another foundation, or how those builders are building upon the one foundation. And to me, it got a little bit confusing. I believe the main point here is that all builders, the focus is you're building on Jesus Christ. As my role as a preacher and a pastor, I have to, in all aspects of ministry, focus the attention upon Jesus Christ in the gospel, using God's grace and his gospel to minister the hearts and minds of people. And remembering in all of that, that it is God that gives the increase, and that is all according to God's grace. And so all builders must build upon that one foundation. So thirdly, all builders will be held accountable for the quality of their work. Listen to that. If you look at the text there, a couple places. Look at verse 10, the end of it. He gives this warning: let every man take heed how he's building thereupon. That's an imperative tense. In other words, it comes across with a little bit more urgency and power and authority. And what Paul is saying here is, listen, you have got to watch out and be careful, church leader, of how you are building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. What are you teaching? How are you living? What are you promoting? Where is the focus? There's a lot placed upon leaders, but it's all about the grace of God and God giving the increase. But nevertheless, God has established offices in the church. God uses people because the church is people. We're God's hands and feet. He's our head. We're a hands and feet on this earth to minister the love of Christ to others. You also saw in verse 8, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And later on in the text, and we'll get to it, we'll talk about those rewards. So the foundation must be laid, Jesus Christ and the gospel. Secondly, all builders must build upon that one foundation. One thing to remember about that is, and why that's so important, is that what that gives unity to the church. Across the world, the church is built upon one foundation, Jesus Christ. It is for that reason that you and I can have fellowship with another believer on the other side of the world. Why? Because the church is built on one foundation, Jesus. The third building code, all builders must be held accountable for the quality of their work. That's a warning. And fourthly, all growth is credited to God, for he gives the increase. God's building codes. We need to know them. We need to know how God operates in the building of his church. So know the role of God's grace. Know God's building codes. By the way, how does that, understanding that and seeing that in this passage, how does that help you to better pray for your pastor and other church leaders? Just a question. Because we need prayer. As you can see, this is there's a lot of responsibility placed here. It's an important role. The immediate context is to church leaders. How is understanding this truth and how God operates, how can that help you better pray for your pastor and your church leaders? We've already talked about this, but I want to mention it again. We've talked about knowing the role of God's grace. We've talked about knowing God's building codes. Thirdly, I want you to know that your foundation is Jesus. I believe this text is important and profound, and it makes it very clear. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The church began because of Jesus. Jesus established the church. The church is made up of people who have been saved by Jesus. Every church is truly a church only when its foundation is Jesus Christ. If you're going to take the strict interpretation of the scriptures with that truth, there are many, many groups of people around the world that truly aren't churches, because their foundation is not on Jesus Christ. That foundation, when we think about a foundation, it's something that is founded, that which something is founded, built, or established upon. It's that which gives strength, stability, and integrity to all that are placed upon it. It's that which establishes the shape of the structure. If Jesus is the foundation of the church, as Paul states here, then the church must, first of all, trace its beginnings back to Jesus Christ. He is the founder of our church. He is the beginning. He is the one who has established the church. Secondly, we need to find our strength in Jesus Christ. Just as any building finds its strength on its foundation, so we as the church find our strength on Jesus Christ. We will not stand, we will not last, if that is not a truth in our midst, that we find our strength in Jesus Christ. When we talk about and we try to encourage one another, we encourage one another through Jesus Christ and the scriptures, the gospel. We trace our beginnings back to Jesus Christ. We find our strength in Jesus Christ. And thirdly, we look and we act as Jesus Christ. As you have a foundation that is laid, the building and construction that goes up is comprised and built within the parameters of that foundation. And so it takes on that shape. And so therefore, you and I, as we have a foundation of Jesus Christ, we are to look and we are to act as Jesus. Indeed, this goes hand in hand with the illustration that we see of the body and how Jesus Christ speaks of the body. And Jesus is the head of the body. And the head of the body is to direct and guide all of the members. We are to look and we are to act as Jesus Christ. We share the same shape as Jesus. We share the same purposes and goals. How is Jesus Christ the foundation of this church? Church, we make up the church, people. How is Jesus Christ the foundation of this church? Something good to think about, not just for church leaders, but for all of us. How is it clear and evident that the people that gather together find their strength? They trace their beginning. They look and they act like Jesus. How is Jesus the foundation of your life personally? Know the role of God's grace. Know God's building codes. Know your foundation is Jesus. And finally, know God's value system. Know God's value system. Look at verse 12 and following. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There will be a day when all of the works of these builders that he's referring to here, when all of their works, their teachings, the way they taught, they will be exposed to the fire of God's judgment. If you notice and read carefully in this text, you understand that fire plays a significant role. I don't really believe this is a literal fire. It is used to help us understand God's judgment, God's discernment. How God is going to look at the works of his people and evaluate them. And he speaks of building products: gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. What do you notice about those things that are spoken of in that text? Well, they're grouped into two separate things, two groups. One that typically lasts through a fire, and even to some degree is purified in a fire, becomes more pure and clean. Others, in a fire, they are burned and they crumble and they fall, some more quickly than others. But nevertheless, it is interesting what Paul writes here, and the building products that are used: gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. The focus is, builder, you are going to be held responsible for what you say and what you do in regards to my church. There will be a day when all of those things will be exposed to God's judgment, when God's value system is going to come into play, and you will face the music. And what is interesting here is that this day of judgment is not going to necessarily be a day of punishment. It's going to be a day of reward, or lack thereof. If you notice there in verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So after God looks at the work and the building of this individual, this preacher, this church leader, most directly in this context, and they last through God's judgment, they pass God's value system, God looks at it and says, yes, you gave glory to my son Jesus Christ. Yes, you lived a life that spoke of Jesus Christ. Yes, when you taught and when you preached, you gave the truth from God's word as the foundation and not man's ideas or the ideas of the world. He doesn't specifically mention the works, and I think it's left for us to understand and judge ourselves, because ultimately we stand before God. And I have to answer every week, why am I up here preaching and teaching? What am I preaching and teaching? Is it man's idea? Is it my idea? Or is it God's idea, God's truth? Because God's truth stands the fire. Mine will not. If anything abides, he shall receive a reward. Not specific here in this text what that reward will be, and I don't believe it's necessarily important to Paul. What he is doing is he is telling these leaders, listen up. There's coming a day when you're held accountable for this. Whether that reward is these crowns and you lay them at Jesus' feet, or whether it's a position of authority in Christ's kingdom, we don't know. That doesn't necessarily matter, obviously, in this text. The point of the matter is, now is the time to put into practice, build rightly upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And what happens in the future? Now is the time you determine what happens in the future. As you build now. And if any man's work is burned, it's not abiding. So this is very interesting. He shall suffer loss. He shall suffer loss. In other words, it's as if he's there and he's empty-handed. Or he doesn't receive what he could have received if he would have been faithful in the ministry and building upon the foundation. He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. So notice this is not an issue of salvation here. This is an issue of how you did as a builder. Yet he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There's coming a day, church, when we'll face the fire of God's judgment. And that not necessarily is to be looked at as a scary term or scary thought, but it is to be a wake-up call for us to help us remember that we are held accountable for how we live this Christian life. And that God, he so longs for us to live faithfully, to preach and to teach. And he has rewards. But if you're not faithful, if you're not building rightly upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, you suffer loss. So, know the role of God's grace. Know God's building codes. Know your foundation is Jesus. Know God's value system. Will it pass his standards? That's a question I have to answer. That's a question you have to answer when you're in your life with the things you say and the things that you do. You have influence. Maybe you're not up here preaching and teaching every week, but you've got influence in your home and in your family. How is it measuring up to God's value system? And if you're unsure of exactly what that is, do some investigation in the New Testament and some of the epistles. Galatians chapter 5 talks about fruit of the Spirit. Are these things evident in your life? The first couple chapters of 1 Corinthians talks about the importance of Jesus Christ and the cross. Is that central in your focus and in your life and in the words you speak, in the counsel that you give? Remembering that God gives the increase and that we do these things according to what? The grace of God. And so, church, there's a lot to consider here today. I would agree that the most direct application in this text is to church leaders and preachers and teachers. It seems very clear and evident. But I think there's a second application for each and every individual here. It's because each of us have influence, areas of influence. Are you including God's grace in your life, your vocabulary? Are you allowing that to temper your thinking? Help you understand who you truly are and what you truly deserve, and the fact that God's been so gracious to you and to me. Do you understand how God builds things and how he's building his church? It's built upon a foundation of Jesus. And so that Jesus, he needs to be central in your life and in what you say and what you do. Does that measure up to Jesus and his standards? God has a laid a foundation, and he's used men to lay that and build upon that, and that is Jesus. Do you understand God's value system? You know, and it's not necessarily how eloquent you are, how knowledgeable you are, how much education you have, how young, how old, how you look. God's value system is that you build faithfully upon my son Jesus. Did you keep central and focus upon him and his gospel? Were you faithful? Are you being faithful now? Is God bringing to your attention areas in your life that need to be looked at differently? And I trust you'll heed that today and allow God's Spirit to do a work and challenge your heart. Thank you, God, for this precious truth. I thank you so much for the... Well, really, God, you're educating us. You're teaching us. You are showing us how you view us as a church and what you think and how you operate. Thank you, first of all, for your grace. And I pray today that you would shower your grace upon these dear people. Well, you already have, God. I guess, Lord, open our eyes to that fact. Show us. Help us to bask in the gleam of the grace of God. And give us confidence to minister because you've been so gracious and you are the one that gives the increase. I pray that you would give great boldness to your people. And God, help us as a church, help us as church leaders to be faithful in what we say and what we do. For it is in your precious name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.